We say hello to the mayor of the city of Grand Haven, Bob Manetta. How are you?
I'm great, Marielle. How are you?
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too, on this chilly little morning here.
I'll tell you, when you walked in, I could feel the cold air coming off you, man.
I can be a little bit cold sometimes.
No, you know what I mean. Crews have done a great job out there between the city of Grand Haven and the Ottawa County Road Commission. We've had the Road Commission on every day this week, but they've done a really good job. I mean, I've never experienced anything like this. You drove to Lansing yesterday.
Yes, I did.
You out of your mind? What was that for?
Oh, yesterday I went to a kind of a kickoff meeting for the legislative lobbying committees that the Michigan Municipal League has set up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, five of these specialize in reviewing legislation when it gets introduced, and then the Michigan Municipal League takes positions on various things of interest to local governments. So they have local officials as members of committees that advise them, and mm-hmm. I'm on the Energy and Environment Committee. So when they have pending legislation on that, we'll review it as a group. We'll go through it and see what we like, don't like, what we think is good for us or bad for us. And then the Michigan Municipal League is our lobbying group. You know, we work with them to promote our interest in the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
So they go and they talk to the legislators and they try to persuade them to our points of view, or they come back and tell us what's going on.
Okay.
And so it's a pretty good way of staying in touch with what's in Lansing and influencing things that are going to be important to local governments.
Mm-hmm.
So this was kind of a kickoff meeting to review who's on which committees. And
I didn't know that you did that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And what the major legislative focuses are for the MML this year. And
okay.
Of course, it's a new legislature. We just had an election. So
yep.
Everything that was in the old legislature that didn't get passed has died, has to start over,
mm-hmm.
or just simply won't come back. You know, the one on short-term rental regulation was in there that it died. That was one of interest to this community.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it gets introduced again, it has to start through the whole process. And there were several others. There was a couple of environmental type laws that were introduced and didn't go anywhere. And, in their lame duck session, they tried to cram a lot of stuff through. And that kind of blew up on them. That's really a bad strategy.
Yeah.
You shouldn't rush legislation. You should do it in a very considered and deliberate manner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was there for. It was kind of an exciting drive. I mean, between here and Lowell, it was a succession of whiteouts and white roads. And I saw a few people in the ditch, not a lot, but there was For part of it, people were driving fairly sensibly, and then on the way home, though, in the afternoon, it was different. Everybody driving like idiots again.
Oh, my gosh. I saw,
weaving in and out of traffic.
I saw a lady the other day. I was stopped for 2 hours on I-96 due to a multi-car crash just past Alpine, okay, because I live in Grand Rapids. I was stuck for like 2 hours, and there was this lady that tried to go around on the side, and she went right into the ditch, and I didn't want to clap or be like, well, serves you right. But, I mean, you'll get where you need to go. I think what it is that snow is just blowing. There's nothing you can do about that.
There's times when it's a whiteout and you can't see the car in front of you at all. And sometimes if you're following a plow, then, of course, that creates its own whiteout. And so you just got to take your time, slow down. And there were times when I'd drive with my flashers on.
I did, too.
Get their attention. Sometimes they get a little too close. So, take your time. Spread yourselves out. Don't follow anybody too close.
Yeah, that's a fact.
If you have to be out in the weather, make sure you're prepared for it. Make sure you don't have a lot of exposed skin. They're bundled up.
I'm wearing snow pants. I have a whole suitcase in my car with blankets, snow pants, water. You name it.
I keep a blanket in the back of the car. If I do go in the ditch, I had some stuff with me so I could survive for a bit. But, it's just not a good situation. So.
Yeah, and, also, too, I do want to say this. When here in the city of Grand Haven and in this area, it may look like it does right now, but out on 96 in M104, it's whiteout conditions. It may look really calm here right now, and you're like, oh, it's not that bad. I don't see what the big deal is. You get out there, forget it.
Yeah, it's hard to predict, and it's kind of spotty, too,
It is spotty.
You'll drive out of it and then right back into it.
I know.
There's times when the sun is blinding, and other times you can't see anything.
I'm telling you. So because, council members do live in the city of Grand Haven, you were able to have a council meeting last night. And
yes, we did.
We've already talked about Roger Bergman. That's in my news today.
Right.
So what else happened at the meeting?
Well, after we talked about Roger, then we had a presentation from Derek Gatos on water licensing. He likes to come in. He tries to come in once a year and tell us about some of his employees who have gotten or renewed or upgraded their licenses. There's various licenses that they hold for operating the water department. the water distribution system and the water filtration system, and also the sewer distribution system. So they all have to have different licenses, and they try to upgrade every year. They try to get people to their highest level of licensing. Sure. And he just wanted to acknowledge them and the effort they put into it.
So yeah.
It's important to know that we have good, competent people who are really dedicated to their jobs here. And so he went through those. I didn't write all the names down if everybody mentioned, but it was a very nice thing to do that we get to hear about these folks. They get recognized because it's a lot of work, you know.
Yeah, you may not know what an employee is doing, and they're right. Taking classes to get to the next level and get to the next level. Yeah.
Right, and you know, when the plow guys are out there, you know, they're working around the clock and they're knocking themselves out.
Yep.
And just to keep us safe on the roads, and public safety is out there in all kinds of weather.
Oh, that's a fact.
But there's other people too that work for the city and work for North Ottawa Water System.
Mm-hmm.
And they work hard around the clock, basically, and they have to maintain certifications, and they take their jobs very seriously. So it's good to give them a shout-out.
Mm-hmm.
We did have a couple of items on our consent agenda.
We had
to approve a grant that we had received. We had applied for this grant for the outer light, for the lighthouse. It's for historic interpretation type thing. It's a recreation of the Fresnel lens that used to be there. You know, something kind of it's not actual Fresnel lens, but something that would be on display that people could see what one looked like.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
And it would be for other historic displays that they want to put out in that outer light. Because someday the Conservancy would like to open that up for people to see every summer. And they haven't gotten there yet. They've been working on this for years, and they keep upgrading and repairing and fixing the place up.
Yeah.
So this was a $90,000 project. We got a $45,000 grant, and the Conservancy has matching funds.
That's excellent.
So it doesn't cost the city anything directly, but it does. It's a city asset.
Right.
And it'd be a great attraction for folks when they come to visit.
For sure.
We also had to approve the bid proposal for dragging our water intakes.
So what does that mean, dragging our water intakes?
Okay, so our water comes from Lake Michigan.
Uh-huh.
But we have pipes underneath the sand, about 5 feet underneath the sand out there. And so we use the sand as a pre-filter. So all the water we pull out of the lake is pulled through the sand, a lot of the sediment, a lot of the particles that are in the water, a lot of the turbidity is taken out in the sand and then sucked into our system. We filter it and distribute it, and we treat it and all that. But that sand gets plugged up with stuff. You know, you have all this, all the sediments that's in the water, all the stuff that flows out of the river and just out there. So the sand is doing its job, but in the process, it's like a filter that gets plugged up.
Mm.
So we have a company that takes basically a tugboat with a big steel beam on a long chain, and they drag it back and forth across the sand, and they break up that layer of stuff that accumulates in the sand. Then it just floats away with the water currents.
Okay.
And so that keeps our intake clear, so otherwise our water flow would slow way down, and we'd eventually be struggling to get water in our system.
Oh, that wouldn't be good.
So they do that every month. Sometimes they do it extra times when the water is warm.
I didn't know that.
If there's a limit on how much water we can get, you know, we just go and drag the sand and breaks that up. It's a great system, and it works really well, and that system actually reduces the amount of treatment we have to put in our water because of the pre-filtering of the sand.
Well, that's good to hear.
It's a great design.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, of course, we had a resolution honoring Roger Bergman for all his years of service. We read that, and it was on our consent agenda for council to endorse it. So then we had several items of unfinished business. We had we'd had a public hearing at our previous meeting for Brownfield Redevelopment Authority tax increment finance for a property on Kuhiman Street.
Mm-hmm.
So this is about a 2-acre parcel on Kuhiman Street, which is south of Taylor, so behind where Panera is and all that area.
Oh, yeah.
On the other side of the railroad tracks.
Okay.
This is a parcel that had been idle for like 50 years. Nothing had been done on it. It had some pollution on it. It had to have a stormwater system put in order to use the land. They had to remove some contaminated soil and all that. And they wanted to have tax increment finance put in place to help reimburse them for some of the eligible costs that are involved in that. Those eligible costs are defined in the state statute.
Okay.
So we had a public hearing on that before. We talked about it again last night, and we approved it. We had a third-party finance company, Plant Moran, review it for us as well to say that it made sense to do.
Okay, good.
So all the financing makes sense, and it means that we'll continue to collect tax on a base amount, which is the current value of it, but for the next 17 years, any increase in property value due to the improvements they do on it,
mm-hmm.
that tax will be captured and returned to them to pay for these costs.
Okay.
That's how these things work.
Okay.
So the city doesn't lose money, the city doesn't gain money, but we do gain productive use of the land, which is currently unused.
Did Notos get their sign? It looks like they did.
Notos did get their sign.
Okay.
We had that. We voted for it two meetings ago. At our last meeting, mm-hmm. we voted, and it was a 2-1 vote. Karen had voted against it. And then we voted again last night, and it was unanimously in favor.
Okay.
So we did talk about it a bit, and we all agreed that, yes, it's appropriate to go ahead and approve it.
All right.
So
and
we
then,
did get their sign. And then the second item on our unfinished
business.
Yeah, I
was looking at that real hard the other day.
Yeah, okay. So the city's zoning ordinance has several parcels of land that are designated sensitive areas. These are areas which have environmental significance. Either they're a wetland or they might be a dune area or an erosion area or various things that are described in our sensitive areas overlay chapter of our zoning ordinance. And these were all mapped out in the 1990s, and they have special restrictions on land use in order to try to preserve some of that environmental character, because it kind of all works together like a big puzzle. All these different parts of little pieces of land, you know, because birds can migrate between them, animals can migrate, insects can migrate, different plant species can thrive in different parts of the city that might not otherwise if all this land was scraped and redeveloped. So this was all mapped out years ago. And there was a provision in there that if a parcel of land is no longer functioning as it had been and is no longer actually a sensitive area anymore, it can be removed and then redeveloped into something else. So we had a request from the Salvation Army for a parcel of land just south of their building, which is a low area and a wet area, and it was mapped as a wetland. So they did an environmental survey, determined that it wasn't actually functioning as a wetland. It was full of invasive species, and it was just kind of a messy low area that received water from runoff from neighboring properties.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went ahead and removed that from the map, and that allows it to be redeveloped.
Oh, good.
They have plans to put affordable housing there.
I know they do.
Which would be nice, but, you know, this action doesn't require that. This action simply removes a sensitive area, so really anything that's allowed in that zoning district could be put there.
Okay.
But what they're interested in doing is affordable housing, so I hope that works out.
I hope so, too. What was the final resolution? What was the major amendment to the Grand Landing plan development?
This is the hotel that was
This
proposed.
Is the hotel, yeah. There was just an amendment, right?
Yeah, well, okay. There was... In order to put the hotel there was a major amendment to the plan development, because the plan development was approved in 2006.
Okay.
And then it's been modified a number of times over the years because it doesn't look very much like it was originally proposed. But adding the hotel was in a different place with a different configuration, so it required a major amendment to the plan development.
Okay.
So it's been working its way through the system for some time now. We first heard about it last spring, you know,
right.
Almost a year ago.
I know.
And then last summer, the Planning Commission took it up, and it's been massaged and modified some, moved around. They've had to talk about where the parking is, where the dumpsters go, what kind of facilities are going to be there, whether it's going to be a two-flag hotel or one-flag hotel. All those things have been discussed quite a bit. We
mm-hmm.
had an initial reading on this, I think, two meetings ago, and then it came back for its final reading at council last night. So we approved it pretty much without any further changes.
Okay.
So now we're done with it. It'll go back to the Planning Commission for what they call a final plan review, which is where all the very specific things on the site plan will be determined, and then they'll have an actual plan that they can work to.
Okay.
Because it's a plan developed, there are several steps to the process, and so they're near the end of that process now.
And when will construction start? Do you know?
Hopefully this spring or this summer.
Okay. It's amazing how fast they can put things up, too. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, once things get rolling, you know, sometimes the getting the approvals and the planning done is takes as long as getting the building up.
Yeah.
It can be. We're trying to be very deliberate about these things,
mm-hmm.
too, so that we get, you know, we're looking out for the quality of the city. That's what planning is all about. You know?
Yeah.
That's made its way through. And then we had our final resolution on this zoning map revision for Centertown, where the 700 Washington building is, which
mm-hmm.
is the, that's the corner on, that's the southeast corner of the 7th Street and Washington intersection. It's the brick building there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to be included in the Centertown overlay district. They were left out years ago.
Why? They were just left out?
Probably because they didn't ask to be in it.
Oh, okay.
That'd be. I remember when we established the district,
yeah.
because it was really there because we were trying to get rid of nonconformities. So we had buildings there which didn't conform to the district, and this was a way to make them conform. And I think they just didn't ask to be included, so now they are.
Okay. In new business, you did approve a contract extension with Republic Services.
Yep.
What was the resolution for the revitalization and placemaking grant application for the 7th Street Clinton to Beacon Boulevard? What's that all about?
So we have this project that we've looked at several years ago, actually probably 5 years ago, for redoing all the streetscaping of 7th Street, basically from where it branches off from Beacon all the way down to Franklin. So that long stretch of Franklin goes through Centertown, which is a commercial district.
Yeah.
And we've looked at how to redo that whole street. And, of course, there's underground utilities and there's various things there. But it's very tired and it needs a lot of work. And so it's like a $7 million project, like $7.3 million. And, of course, it won't get cheaper as time goes by, but we've been trying to find a way to put this together for years for financing. So here's one piece of it. There's this grant, called a RAP grant, Revitalization and Placemaking Grant, which will help with that. It's $1 million, and we could put that towards some of the streetscaping work. And also there's another grant. There's another body, a block of money coming from the West Michigan Shoreline Regional Development Commission, which is it's federal money for basically for non-motorized pathways. That's
really?
Another $1 million that's been set aside for this project. So there's $2 million of the $7 million that we've kind of got covered with this. We'll use some of our water funds and sewer funds for the underground work to help with that. We still have a gap to close on this. We still have money to come up with to finance the rest of the project. But if we can get everything put together, it'd become a 2027 project. So, you know, a couple years out, but it'd be nice to get all this stuff lined up. So we're working really hard to figure out how to pay for the project.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, it's a big project, but it's a project that needs to be done. It's well worth doing. It really enhanced that district. So these are a couple of chunks of that money. So I just hope that the pricing doesn't get away from us as time goes by.
Gosh.
It can happen.
That was a busy meeting.
That was pretty much our meeting.
All right. Well, gosh. I love that everybody was able to show up. Oh, I do want to ask you one thing.
Sure.
We do have someone on the council that's a snowbird. Does he watch the meetings from Florida?
Well, I'm just curious. He was there last night.
He was. He was. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kevin McLaughlin, he winters in Florida.
Right.
So he goes down there at the end of December, and then he comes back in April. But he flies back for about every other council meeting.
He does. I wasn't sure when he was here or not. Okay.
In fact, he was watching at our first meeting in January.
Okay, I figured.
When we had the no-dos sign, and it didn't pass. And,
yeah.
You know, right away we're getting texts from Kevin. And so, you know, so he said, well, because you know, when it didn't pass before, it was still eligible to come back because it hadn't been denied either.
Yeah.
And so it was the way I put it at the time was, well, it's at the will of council whether mm-hmm. or not we bring this back. Because if you don't bring it back, it just goes away.
Yeah.
It doesn't pass. But if council wants to see it again, then we still had the ability to bring it back. So we did. And, you know, Kevin was one of those who wanted it in the first place. So when he came back for last night's meeting, then it passed.
Well, good. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's Wednesday, right? Today's Wednesday. I mean, I didn't even know what...
I'm pretty sure.
I didn't even know what day it was. It's just like everything just blurs into one big drive of snow and snow pants and boots and everything in between. I appreciate you.
I'm tired of moving snow. Getting the snow blower out every day.